Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. Great, you're doing well? Great, we're going to carry on this week in one of the things that we've been looking at, God's been speaking to us about, which is living in the great rest. And for those of you, maybe this is the first time you've been here, or you haven't heard any of these messages, these three chairs represent three different ways that we can live our lives. And the first one is, we've called it the chair of separation, or living outside of relationship with God, not knowing God, not having a relationship with God. So this is the kind of chair of separation. We're separated from God. We don't know him, never met him. But that's not God's intention for any of us to stay or to live in that way. Then this chair represents living in the great rest, in the great rest of the great I am. And what we spoke about, and what we've been speaking about this one, is when we give our lives to Jesus, when we've been living separated from God and we respond to God and we give our lives to him, he brings us into the great rest. What does that mean? It means we're forgiven for things we need to be forgiven for. He takes us out of being separated and into relationship with him. And we rest from our own efforts, our own kind of labors, trying to live our life in our own way. And we now come, as the Bible talks about, we now come into Christ. And it's, we call it the great rest. And in one sense, it's a place, and we've used this phrase quite a bit, where everything is okay. It's a place where you hear from God. It's a place where you receive from God. It's a place of faith. It's a place of life in God. So we'll come to a bit more of what we're going to look at today in a moment. But the third chair that we have is, we said this one is the chair of self, or living life in our own effort. So we might have responded to God and given our lives to him, and we come into the great rest. But then sometimes in our lives, we move from kind of living, trusting him and living in the great rest of God, and we kind of slide over to this chair and we kind of start to do things in our own strength, our own effort. We get a bit stressed, and we try and work things out. And we've discovered, as we've been looking at this, that none of us really want to live in this chair. It's a chair where you lose your peace, you kind of easily get frustrated, short temper. You know, you just get stressed out and you're trying to work things out from here, and stuff just riles you and annoys you in that, and things just seem to be hard work here. And God never intended us to live in that way when we're in relationship with him. He wants us to stay in the great rest, in relationship with him, in a place of peace, in a place of total well-being, a place of trust in him. But we know we don't live perfect, but Jesus demonstrated to us in many different ways how to stay in the great rest, how to remain in God, how to abide in God moment by moment, how to live in this place. And we've been looking at not living from this place. So we spend a bit of time with God, getting to a place of peace and well-being. And, oh, this is good. And then we get up and try and live our lives in our own strength. This is living in the great rest moment by moment with God. It's a walk. It's relationship with him. And what we're going to look at this morning is, and I believe that quite a number of people, we're going to have like a real breakthrough in our lives today, that we want to look at what does it look like to live in the great rest, but to really break through in areas in our lives where there's patterns of things that have been going round, cycles of sickness, stuff going on. Because we, even though when you live in this place, there's still the challenges of life that go on. So you don't live in a bubble when you live here. And suddenly everything around you is okay. There's no challenges. There's no disappointments. There's nothing that might try and upset you. There's no negativity. So this isn't like Nirvana, you know, where suddenly we reach this state and everything's just, you know, twilight zone, and you're a couple of inches off the ground and you're floating and everything's all right, you know. Living in this great rest, it changes the way we walk through life and how we deal with challenges and situations and circumstances. And one of the phrases that God gave me during the week was, the place of rest is the place of rising. And when we live in the great rest, when our faith and trust is in God, when we're seeking to walk moment by moment with God, then that's the place where we can rise above situations, where we can overcome challenges and circumstances, where we suddenly don't become a victim in the situation and begin to lose the plot and get frustrated and annoyed and cheesed off and lose our peace, and we try and deal with it on our own strength. Living in the great rest is a place where we rise above. We still have to go through it, but God enables us to rise above it. So instead of going under it and getting all defeated, we actually enables us to overcome and live in a place of victory. The circumstance might still be there, but how you walk through it begins to change what's going on in those circumstances, and you don't react to them. Instead, you walk through them and move through them. I heard somebody once said, you know, my life feels like I'm going through hell at the moment. And somebody said, well, keep going and you'll come out the other side. Sometimes stuff is challenging. Sometimes stuff is difficult. But yet when we live in a place of trust and in the great rest, then God enables us to walk through them. Now, if you remember, Pastor Colin's been speaking about a walk with God. Do you remember that? And he said, you know, maybe if we use the lectern as the point that somebody responded to God and gave their life to God, and then we've got our lives that we're seeking to live out, and that if God is, say, here on his throne in heaven, and he's looking at our lives and all the years that we live in knowing him, he puts his Holy Spirit in us, as we've been looking at, so that when God speaks to us, the Holy Spirit enables us to hear God and know what he's saying and how to walk with him and how to walk in his ways, all right? So in this place of rest, and God's saying it's a place of rising, if we can just put it this way, it's like we're still in the great rest, okay? But as we're seeking to walk with God, we stay in the great rest, okay? But we're seeking to live and walk in the great rest as we're walking with God. So it's not that I have a time with God in the morning, I'm in the great rest and a place of peace, and then I get up out of it and try and live this life in my own strength and my own effort. Because when we do that, we end up sitting in this one, and you get frustrated, annoyed, and cheesed off, and all of this kind of stuff. And then this walk then becomes frustrating, because in this place, it's difficult to hear God, as we heard last week. It's difficult to really receive from God, because this is the place where we hear and receive, okay? So in this place, if we're hearing and receiving, this is the place where faith is going to rise up in you. It's difficult for faith to rise up here, because we're trying to deal with everything in our own strength. We're frustrated. We're trying to work it out. We're reasoning. Circumstances are overcoming us. And it's difficult to find or to receive faith because we're trying to hear God in it. Remember what we said last week, that when we're living in this way, or we're in a moment like this where we're in the self, kind of in ourselves and trying to work it all out, God still speaks, but he's speaking for us to respond, to move back into this one, so that then we can actually then move forward in what God wants to do in our lives. So we're going to have a look at a couple of situations that Jesus was in and see what does it mean to live in this place of rest, but then to rise above, to take authority, to see victory, to see things happen in our lives. Because if we're not careful, if we just talk about the great rest, it just sounds like it's a place where you just... And you can become lazy if you're not careful. So the great rest isn't checking out and switching off and just looking for a feeling. Oh, am I in the great rest? Do I feel like I'm in it? Because the great rest is basically who you are in Christ, what it means to live in him, what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit, what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. So that's what the great rest is all about. It's not a place of just relaxation where you switch off. It's a place of resting from our own efforts. There's loads of activity here, but it's God activity. Remember what we were saying a few weeks ago? Loads of activity there, but it's all our own. Whereas here, it's all God activity. So we're going to have a look at a situation that Jesus was in. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 9. Situation where Jesus has been up what's called the Mount of Transfiguration in the Bible. He took Peter, James and John with him. And basically, they saw Jesus in all his glory. And they had a bit of an encounter. We got up the mountain. While they were up there, the other disciples were down at the bottom of the mountain in the village. And a man had brought his son to them who was having all kinds of issues in his life. The Bible talks about this boy had a demon in him. And this father said to the the disciples, can you help me? I need some help. And the disciples couldn't get this boy free. So when Jesus came down, the father ran up to Jesus and he basically says, I need your help. You've got to help me. And he says that my boy is often, verse 22 of Mark 9, he's often thrown into the fire or into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. I love the response that Jesus then gives to the man. He says, if you can, it's like there's a question there. He says, if you can, said Jesus. So it's like Jesus lived in a place where everything's possible. Jesus lived in a place that no matter what came towards him, it's possible to see God do something. And living in the great rest is living in the possibilities of God. Living in the great rest is living in the power of who God is. Living in the great rest is living in who God is and what he can do at any given moment. When we live in the self chair, then it seems like things are impossible. It seems that things are just a little bit beyond our reach. They're just a little bit too far away that I can grab it. Whereas when we're living in the great rest, it's like it's a place to receive. It's a place of faith. It's a place where, yeah, this is possible. This is possible. This is possible. And so this father was desperate. And he was bringing his son to the disciples. Then Jesus turned up. And Jesus says, if you can. Then he said, everything is possible for him who believes. Now, God never asks us to get our own faith. The Bible says that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. You see, when we live here, right, we know we're not in faith. There's a struggle, there's a bit of striving, you feel out of sorts, there's not that confidence and boldness to approach God or to pray because you feel frustrated, and sometimes we can even blame God. Oh, come on, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And in that moment, God's saying, well, I'm here. Come and join me. Come out of your frustration into this place of rest and peace. Then you're going to hear from me, and then faith will rise up in you, and then something's going to happen. And so Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. So if this is the place of hearing from God, God speaks and faith is authored in our lives. There's another story we're going to look at in a minute where Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and it must be moved. So Jesus isn't saying you need great faith, you need massive faith, you need this incredible amount of faith. He just says, faith small as a mustard seed, something's going to happen. You can move mountains. You can move things that look massive in the natural. Because often when you're living in this place, stuff looks big. Stuff looks like it's an issue, doesn't it? Oh, man, how are we going to get out of this? What's going to happen here? This is impossible. I can't see a way out. Whereas this one is, well, God speaks here. This is a place of possibilities. This is a place of faith. This is a place, hang on, I can see it. I can see that. I can see that. Why? Because when God speaks to you, he enables you to see things how he sees them. And so therefore, faith begins to rise up in you. And you say, I'm not going to settle for anything less than God's best. I'm not going to settle anymore for being a victim or for being under something or for being trodden down or thinking there's a cycle or a pattern around my life that cannot be broken. God, I choose to surrender, submit myself afresh to you and your word. And I thank you that you speak to me as I come back into the great rest so I can hear what you're saying to me so that I can rise up with you in a place of faith, not trying to get faith, but receive from you in a place of faith and then say, right, I'm not having this situation any longer. I'm not having these circumstances dictate to me any longer. I'm not having this or that or the other determine how I'm going to live or what's possible or what isn't possible. Because God, through his word, determines what is possible for me in my life, but then also through my life that's going to impact other people's lives. And so he says to this guy, everything is possible for him who believes. Then the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my belief. Jesus saw the crowd run into the scene. He rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up on his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples said to him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind come out only by prayer. See, what is prayer? What is prayer? Fundamentally, prayer is relationship with God. So there's an element where Jesus is saying, look, this kind come out, there's relationship with God. But prayer is two things that come together. It's faith and it's something that is spoken. Prayer is two things, faith and something then is spoken. So if we pray without faith, not a lot's going to happen. We might believe something, but if we don't then speak it, then we leave that place of faith in us. It's active, but if we don't speak and do something, there won't be a release of something. So prayer must be something spoken. Prayer isn't something that is just in the mind, in the head. It's prayer is what we believe, but then we speak. And this is what Jesus understood from when this the Father came. And this basically the Father saying, can you help me? Is it possible? Now, Jesus didn't say, yes, it's possible. He said, wow, if you can, you're even asking a question. Of course it's possible. So living in the great rest is a place of total well-being. It's a place of peace, but also a place of hearing from God. It's a place that when circumstances or challenges arise, you're already seeking to live in that place of rest and well-being so that you meet it in that way. So that when challenges arise and circumstances arise or cycles of stuff or things seem to go on, if we're seeking to live in this place, it's a lot easier to hear the voice of God in and what the Word says in a situation than it is if we start to take it on in our own strength and our own efforts and our own abilities. So in that, we would all say that Jesus lived in the great rest, permanent, constantly, with the Father. But he constantly had to surrender and submit himself to stay in that place. So even for Jesus, it wasn't automatic that he stayed in the great rest. There were temptations that would tempt Jesus to go over here in all kinds of different ways. It started in the wilderness when the devil tempted him to act independently from God and to do his own thing. But there were other challenges, tempted in the same way as we are in every way. But yet Jesus constantly had to make choices. I'm going to stay surrendered. I'm going to stay submitted. I want to stay in relationship with you, Father. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to stay in tune with you on your frequency. I don't want to step into my own frequency and retune my life. I want to stay in the frequency of the great rest and live in surrender, living in the flow of your life and your voice and what you're saying. So when this circumstance arose, Jesus met it in a different way than some of the disciples. Some of the disciples were trying to deal with it in their own strength. Where Jesus came and said, he challenged them. If you look at the other Gospels, it wasn't the most encouraging thing to say to them. Oh, unbelieving generation, how much longer must I stay with you? Well, that's not the most encouraging thing you could ever hear in the world. If the guy's leading you, it's a bit like, oh, you unbelieving bunch of whatevers. Come on, get a grip. But, you know, sometimes we need a bit of that, don't we? Some people in the room are going, yeah, we do. And others are going, no, I don't know if I want God to speak to me like that. That was Jesus, Son of God. You know, I think sometimes we think that Jesus was meek and mild, gentle, was lovely to everybody. You know, but sometimes he challenged his disciples. He's like, come on, guys, you know, believe and you'll see. Oh, unbelieving generation, come on, guys. But what was he basically saying is, guys, this sort of thing only comes out. If you live in a great rest, you'll hear, there'll be faith. But then you speak. And when you speak living in this way, what comes out of your mouth is very different than what you speak when you're living in this one. See, when we speak in a moment of whatever, when you can have moments where you flick from there to there, just a few moments. Or we can be living in a circumstance or through a whole situation in this way. But what comes out when you're in this moment is frustration, it's negative, it's, oh, it's this, it's that, you know. But when you're in this one, there might not be as many words in this one, but the ones that you speak seem to be more effective. See, this one, if I can put it this way, is driven or inspired by God's kind of, if I can put it this way, righteous indignation about situations. And for some of us today, we need some righteous indignation on the inside of us about some situations going on in our lives or around our lives that we allow to go on because we sit here. And sometimes when we sit here, we start to feel sorry for ourselves. We start to feel down about ourselves and we start to feel sorry for ourselves and all of that kind of stuff. That's not going to help us out to get out of here to there to then see a breakthrough. We start to feel self-pity, a woe is me and la 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 and all of that. And that's where we just need to take a very, very simple response to God. Say, God, I don't want to live like this. I don't want this stuff, whatever it is, to go around my life any longer. So, Father, firstly, I ask you to forgive me for just allowing self-pity to take over. Father, forgive me for start feeling sorry for myself and woe is me. Father, forgive me that I've put myself at the center. Father, forgive me for letting circumstances just override, whatever it might be. What happens at that moment when you respond to God like that? What happens is you move. It's like you're moving as you're responding to God and praying. You're moving back into this place, ready then to hear something from God that you then begin to rise up in the great rest, as it were, and say, right, enough is enough. I'm not gonna let this thing rile my life any longer or my family or whoever it might be, whatever's going on, because something begins to ignite in you in a fresh way. You begin to rise up. So as well as this being a place of total well-being and rest and knowing I'm at peace with God, it's also a place where God's heart, God's righteous indignation or enough is enough rises up on the inside of you. And instead of trying to deal with it in a way where you're like, I've got to deal with this, I don't know what to do. There's something different here. There's self-anger there. But here, there's a kind of godly righteousness that rises up saying, I'm not having that any longer. And because it's not connected with frustration and disappointment and negativity, it's connected with faith and what God has said. The heart and the spirit which it comes from is then powerful and something has to shift. Because Jesus says, anyone who believes will see the impossible. And then you speak in line with what God's saying. Things have to shift. They cannot stay the same. So let's just have a quick look at Mark chapter 11. A couple more minutes. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. This is in the context where the day before, Jesus and his disciples were walking along. He went over to a fig tree and to see what fruit was on it. When he got there, there wasn't any. He cursed the thing. When they walked past it the next day, one of the disciples made a comment saying, look, the tree you cursed, it's dead, it's withered and everything. And then Jesus said to them, have faith in God. See, what is the great rest? The great rest is knowing I can't have faith in myself. Because when I put faith in myself, I end up getting frustrated. I lose my peace. I get annoyed. I haven't got a lot of patience. I'm critical, negative. It's just hard work. It's a grind. It's tough. Stuff gets boring. You rock up on a Sunday. It's a bit boring today. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. But what's going on in us determines how we perceive what's going on around us. If you've got something going on the inside of you with God, as far as you're concerned, God's on the move, God's at work, God's alive. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. If you're in this one, And it's like God's at work. He's speaking to me. It's amazing. It's like God's, it's so, I'm so encouraged. It doesn't mean there aren't challenges, but in the middle of it, you're going, oh, God's so good. He's encouraging me. And you feel like God's on the move. God's at work. Things are happening. And if you live like that, stuff will happen around you because stuff's happening on the inside of you. So Jesus said, have faith in God. It's hard there. It's tough there. But here is a place of faith, place of hearing from God. Then he says, I tell you the truth. If you say, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it. Two things there. Asking, speaking, believe that you have faith, believing. So believing and speaking are connected in regards to prayer. And it will be yours. We looked at a scripture last week, didn't we? Saying that if we ask anything according to God's will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have what we asked of him. Great scripture. So this place is in line with God's will. The great rest is in line with God's word, God's heart, God's purpose. Man, you're on a winner if you're looking to live in this one. Amen. We don't have to try and get God to do what we want him to do in this one, because in this one, you're hearing what God wants to do. And because you're hearing what God wants to do, faith is rising up and there's a confidence there because you're lining up and I'm lining up with what God wants to do. And as you know, when you're lining up with what God wants to do, something's going to happen. But we can't get God to line up with what we want him to do when we live here, because God's saying, I can't do what you want to do because what you want is not what I want. And so when we come back into what God wants, the funny thing is, the desire in us is, actually, I want what God wants. Then he says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. We looked at that last week. Have faith in God. One of the things, I don't know if I've said this last week or whenever I've said it, but one of the things that through this whole process, I know that God's been speaking to me about in regards to the church and everything we're doing as Kingdom Faith, wherever it is, locally or anywhere that we're doing stuff. God said to me, are you okay with not knowing what you think you need to know? Are you okay with not knowing what you think you need to know about where the church is going or what God wants to do or what's going to be happening next year or this year or wherever? Are you okay with not knowing? Now, some people in the room would find that question a lot harder than others, all right? Because some of you are control freaks. No one is joking. Some of us, we want all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed. We want all the answers, don't we? We want to know everything so we can be like, right, you know, I know what we're doing. I can plan this, plan that, organise that, do this, sort that, and that, right, everything's sorted. Now we can, right, everybody. And we often think that, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 in God's kingdom, you know? Well, if we, you know, but God knows how to lead us in our lives, that he gives us enough that we can take a step that will require faith. Because this walk is a walk of faith, right? And God will always give us enough to take steps of faith with him. But I don't think God ever gives us too much because he knows we're quite good at then taking it over here. Well, we've got enough from God now. We can do it in our own strength. Yay, here we go. Come on, guys. And a little bit down the road, it's like, oh, it's not happening in the way that we thought. And God said, well, I was just going to see what you're going to do with what I gave you. And obviously you did a bit too much, started doing it in your own strength. But come back over here. Realign your life with church or whatever it is with me, and let's go forward together. So God gives us enough to take a step, enough to trust him in that way. And that's why there's this walk of faith in our lives. And God said to me, are you okay with not knowing what you think you need to know? Now, I couldn't answer God straight away with that, saying, oh, yeah, I'm cool with that. Great, brilliant. Because you know when God asks you a question You know, it's because there's something that he wants to do in your life, right? Because he doesn't ask you a question because he knows you know the answer. He asks you a question because he wants to uncover something that he wants to show you about yourself. And you go, oh, yeah. And my initial thing was, not really, no. I would like to know, you know, this and the other. But God said to me, but living it, Clive, if living in the great rest is moment by moment, and if living in the great rest is living trusting me, then do you trust me that I'll let you know what you need to know when you need to know it? And if you don't need to know something, you don't have to worry about it. Because it's like, if something needs to be planned, then don't you think I'm going to speak to you about it so that you can at least get the thing sorted? Because God is the best planner in the universe, isn't he? He's pretty organized. He's pretty sorted, isn't he? He was doing pretty well before any of us were around. But sometimes we think by sitting in this chair, we can do a better job than God does because we're getting to this chair. And you know, and so I had to pray really and say, God, would you work in me then? Whatever that means, whatever you have to do, you could do it in a couple of moments. I'm not saying this is going to take weeks, but God, would you work in me so that it's okay just to live in the great rest and know that you can let me know what I need to know when I need to know it. It's liberating. Because we worry so much about tomorrow. What's going to happen there? What's going to happen there? What's going to happen there? And God just quietly says, trust me. It's okay, I know. I can see it already. I'm the other side of it already. Because remember, I'm over there and you're walking somewhere along here. I can see the end from the beginning. It's okay. Trust me. Trust me. Trust that still small voice. Trust me. So God wants there to be a rising up in our lives, in this place of rest. So in the great rest, it's a place of rising. It's a place of overcoming. It's a place of, right, I'm not having this. I'm not going to live with that any longer. And some of us need to hit some stuff in our lives in a different way. Just want to, one scripture, Micah 2:13. You can turn there if you want, but I'll read it. It's talking about God being the God of breakthrough. Okay? And it says here, the one who breaks open the way will go before them. That's God. They, that's the people, they will break through the gate and go out. The gate there is anything that opposes you. It's what stands in the way in the context of this scripture. They will break through the gate. They will break through the opposition. They'll break through the situation. They'll break through the restriction. Whatever it is, the sickness or the barrier, the cycle of stuff going on, they'll break through the gate and go out. Then it says, their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Wow. So God is the one who breaks through. The word for breaking out is the word paras there, or we pronounce it in English, parats, okay? It doesn't have a T in it in the Greek, but it does in English when we say it. But the word paras or parats means to break open. It means to break out. And one of the names of God is to break out, the God of the breakout, the God of the breakthrough. So in the great rest, and we focus quite a lot on peace and total well-being and living, all that sort of thing, but also in the great rest, he's a breaking out God. He's a breaking through God. He's a rising up God. He's a tenacious God. He's a God of indignation. He's one that don't settle for that in your life because I've dealt with it on the cross to bring you out of it to here, and I've dealt with whatever might come your way so that you can live in a place of victory over it and not be a victim to circumstances of life and stuff you might have been through. So you can rise up and break through that because I am the God of breakout and the God of breakthrough. So I want you to rise up in the great rest. Just don't remember, we're not getting out of this chair to deal with it in our own strength. We're still living in the great rest. I know it looks weird, but you know, we're still living in the great rest and dealing with stuff, saying, I'm not having that any longer. And so this is what I'm going to have because this is what God has promised me in the great rest. So let's stand together, shall we? Some of you have got sicknesses. Some of you have got circumstances. Some of you have got behavior of your children. Some of you want to see your parents saved. Some of you got stuff going on at work. Some of you got issues that have been going on. And it's time that we, if you're trying to deal with it in this place from self and it's difficult, and it's time to come back into this now in a few moments. And it's time to rise up in your spirit on the inside in the great rest, saying, I'm not going to settle for anything less than God's best. I'm not going to settle for the rubbish any longer, because that's not what God's called me to live in. He's called me to live in a place of freedom and liberty and life and health and well-being, fruitfulness, overcoming, that I'm blessed, my marriage is blessed, my family's blessed, my household's blessed, the church is blessed, the community gets blessed. Why? Because the church of God is seeking to live in this place, which is not a self-absorbent, I want to be at peace with God. It's I want to live in the fullness of who He is, so the fullness of His life flows in me and through me, so that when I, remember the chair's attached to me, all right? So that when I live and walk in the great rest, then I'm going to see God's life and power work through my life to affect other people's lives. Amen. That's just, if you know in certain situations, it's not that you're living here all the time in self. It might be that some of the time you're in the great rest. But when some things arise, certain circumstances, situations, or there's something dogging you at the back of your life somewhere, that you often then go into this one and try and deal with it from here. There's one or two people here this morning, I believe you've lost hope about some situations, some things in your life, and you feel like, I just don't know, I can't see the way out any longer. And the circumstances, the situation is so overwhelmed in your thinking and in your life that you're struggling to see a way out. And we never see the way out in this one. The only way you move to a place where you're going to see it is basically say, God, I don't want you to speak to me about the situation that I'm in while I'm sitting in this one. Because God won't speak to you about this situation because you won't hear Him. Because you, there's more going on that stops you from it. What He'll speak to us about is surrender. Come back. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let me have it. Just give it all to me. It's a place of giving it all to Him. And as you give it all to Him, you come back here. Then you'll hear Him. Then faith suddenly starts to rise. Then you begin to rise. And then you're like, what have I been doing? Light comes on, you see stuff, and it's like, right, I'm not having that any longer. So let's just pray for a few moments. If you've got whatever it is, it could be sickness, family stuff, stuff with your kids, stuff that's gone on for years. It doesn't matter what it is. God's power can break stuff right now in a moment. And everything is possible for him who believes. So let's, if you know you need to surrender afresh to God, I don't mean, God, I surrender my life to be a Christian at this moment, but I mean, this situation, this circumstance, this challenge, this difficulty, this sickness, this family situation, that thing, whatever it is, work, it doesn't matter what it is. God, I give it to you right now. Just ask the Lord to forgive you if you've been dealing with it in your own strength. Father, if there's been self-pity, just God, Father, forgive me for self-pity. Self-pity is self-centeredness. And that would do your head in if you live there. God, forgive me for being self-centered, self-pity. Father, forgive me for my unbelief. The father in that story said, help me in my unbelief. Help me. What was he saying? Help me get me out of that so I can believe, so I can see my son set free. Just whatever it is, Father, forgive me for unbelief, for not believing you, for trying to deal with it in my own strength, for getting frustrated. Forgive me for blaming you. God, I've lost hope. I can't see the answer. Father, I just give you all of that. I give you the circumstances. I give you where I felt disappointed, where I feel let down, where I've been hurt, where I've been used. Whatever it might be, I give you this sickness. I don't want it any longer. But Father, I know I'm not in a place of faith. Let's be honest with God today. Best thing is to be honest with God, and you'll shift right back into the great rest when you're honest with God. Some of you are saying, there's two or three of you saying, I don't really like myself. God likes you. He doesn't just love you, but He likes you. And if you've been saying that about yourself, you need to say, God, I ask you to forgive me. I've been speaking negativity over my life. I'm not at peace with myself. I don't like myself, God. There's things about my life I don't like. Just be honest with God if that's where you're at this morning. God, I don't like myself. I don't like my life. But God, I don't want to live like that. I want to live how you want me to live. God, I can't see how I can ever be at peace. If you just be honest with him this way, if this is you and you don't like yourself, you're struggling with that kind of thing, identity in your life, self-worth and value. Just be honest with him. Be honest with him. Because he wants to bring you out of that and into a completely different view of who you are. He wants to show you how he sees you. It will revolutionize your life, transform your life. Just tell him, God, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to live not liking myself, not at peace with myself. The way I am, the way I look, whatever it is. You know your situation. Just come back into the great rest. For I choose to move right now. I want to back into that place of peace, total well-being. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give him the sickness, give him the challenges, give him the circumstances. God, I lay them before you right now. I give them to you. I stop trusting myself in them and I choose to put my faith in you right now. There's a number of people, God says, I'm your healer this morning. I am your healer. I am your healer. Some of you, God is already speaking to you about situations as you've been responding. I'm your healer. Some of you, we're all going to speak in a moment and speak to situations. No matter what it is, we're going to, like Jesus says, speak to that mountain. Have faith in God. Speak to that mountain. It must be moved. For some of you, it's the beginning of a new journey with God, where you've lived under something for a short while, a long time, and God wants to bring you out and he wants to redefine what your walk looks like in a completely different way than you have been walking it. Because you've sought to walk with God, but you've lived under some stuff. And God said, I want to lift that off you. But you need to throw that off yourself. I throw off the disappointment, throw off the disillusionment. I throw off all that stuff that's been going on for years. And I come now back into the great rest. And Father, I thank you in this place. You enable me to walk with you in a new way, a way that is overcoming, a way that is victorious, a way that sees breakthrough in my life and in situations around my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if anybody in the room has got enough is enough going on the inside of you this morning. But whatever the situation is, it's like enough is enough. I'm not having this any longer. I'm not having all this rubbish going on, this negativity, this frustration, this behavior, these attitudes, these circumstances, this sickness, whatever it is, I'm not having it any longer. Father, I thank you that you author faith in me right now as you speak, but also in these coming days to walk through these things, come out the other side in a place of victory. Some of you just need to speak to some things right now. If you know there's been some challenges in your marriage, you need to start with yourself. Start at home first with yourself in your own life and heart. But the enemy comes to see, he seeks to steal, kill and destroy. He's out to wreck marriages. So it's not you coming against your wife or your husband. Well, I rebuke her in the name of Jesus. You know, we're not doing that. What we're saying is I take authority over that the things that want to steal, kill and destroy my marriage. And it starts with us, Because why do you have issues in a marriage? Because you start living in self. You start dealing with it that way. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. Oh, you're the other. Before you know where you are, you think it's the other person's fault. And it's like, well, maybe if you looked at yourself, there might be some stuff there as well. But we're saying, I'm not having that in my marriage. I'm not having that any longer. Take authority over the things that's seeking to steal, kill and destroy, that division, that divisive stuff. I'm not having that. Stuff where my kids seem to be doing this, that and the other. I'm not having that. in Jesus' name. I take authority over whatever it might be that you need to regarding your kids. I take authority over that right now. I'm not having that divisive stuff in my home. Take authority over this in Jesus' name. We're not coming against them. It's what's going on that seeks to cause hassle. Sickness, I command that to get out of my body. I'm not living under that sickness. No aches and pains, no diseases, not repetitive migraines, repetitive kidney issues. Somebody has a repetitive kidney problem, and this morning you just need to rise up and say, I'm not having that any longer. And I speak to my kidneys and say, be healed once and for all now in Jesus' name. Somebody else, you have cartilage issues in your knees and you keep having a cycle of problems there and you just need to speak to your knees. I'm not having that any longer. So I command the cartilages in my knee to be healed right now. Somebody else, you have a breathing disorder and you have a ventilator thing and there's other stuff you do. And it's like, I'm not going to live under that any longer. Enough is enough. I command that sickness to leave my body once and for all now in Jesus' name. Somebody else, you have an issue at the top of your spine and it's caused you pains and stiffness and sometimes nerves to kind of cause referred pain and all that kind of stuff. And you've been saying, God, when are you going to heal it? When are you going to heal it? When are you going to heal it? And he says to you, I've already healed it. Amen. And what God's saying to you is, when are you going to rise up and take hold of your healing? And he's saying to you this morning, now is that moment. Rise up and take what is yours. Stop looking for me to do it when I've already done it. But rise up this morning knowing in that place of indignation, I'm not having this any longer. Enough is enough. So I command that problem in the top of my back, the muscles, the bone, the spine, the nerves. I command my body to be healed now once and for all. I don't know what you're doing out there. Whatever else is going on in your life at the moment, whatever it is, speak to it. Command it. Change right now. I'm not going to live with you any longer. I'm not going to live with you as a companion in my life any longer as if I can't do anything about it. Because in the great rest, God says, in the great rest, I can rise up and have victory and see stuff happen. So I'm not going to have a companion of disappointment. I'm not having a companion of being frustrated. I'm not having a companion of sickness or of rebellion. I'm not having a companion that says you can't have breakthrough. So whatever those companions are, throw them off. If there's cycles of stuff that have gone on in your life in some way, stuff keeps happening. You get disappointed, disillusioned. You might not feel like God's man of power right at this moment. Oh, hallelujah. But there's something on the inside of you that's beginning to stir that says something needs to change. Something needs to change. Something needs to change. Maybe you need to say, God, would you begin to speak more? And would you author faith in me to have victory and to see this cycle change in my life, my family, my household, whatever it is? God, I thank you that you author faith. I thank you that you speak to me. I thank you that something rises up where I begin to take that authority and that right dominion in my life and over my life so that stuff changes, so that things change. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a couple of people, stuff just keeps happening to you financially where you have this and it's like, oh, there's another 100 quid. Oh, there's another 200 quid. Oh, there's another. Oh, when is this going to? And stuff keeps happening and it seems like there's not holes in your pockets because it's not like you're spending money in a wrong way, but stuff keeps happening and it keeps costing you money. And some of that is to do with your own life. Some of that's to do with some relatives and other things. And you've been thinking the last few minutes, can I actually see something happen in that? Of course you can. I don't know what the things are, but you need to rise up and say, I'm not having that any longer. I'm not going to have my finances robbed by stuff, by circumstances, by this, by that, by the other. I'm not having that because I want to do something else with my finances, which is not filling some hole or somebody else's hole or doing this or the other because of rubbish going on. Instead, I want to make more use of it to be able to bless people and all of that. It doesn't mean you're not blessing me by doing that, but what I get sense of is it's not a blessing to people, it's getting people out of a hole that they've got themselves into. And God's saying, I don't want you to be getting people out of those things in that way. There's a different way of sorting some things out in their lives. And you're not to fill it with stuff I've given you, because they, one or two people need some help in different ways. You're not to be a bailout person. And you've been saying to me, God, I've got this going on. And he's saying, no, no, no. Maybe you just need to, I'm not going to be robbed any longer in a way that's not right. There's a difference between being robbed of stuff and then giving and blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise your name. Praise your name. God is the God of breakthrough. The paraz there. He breaks out, breaks through. This is the place of breaking out. Anybody believe that there's any kind of breaking out going on in your life, in your family, in circumstances, in situations? Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Father, we thank you for the breaking out of God, the breaking through of God. Father, I thank you for the release of your word and your spirit in the situations in our lives so that we see a change, we see things happen. Father, I thank you that none of us are victims, but we're victors. I thank you, Jesus. Maybe there's some people here today, you don't know Jesus, and you're like, well, I think from what you've said this morning that I'm sitting in this chair or that I'm living in that one. I don't know God, I'm separated. I've never known him, certainly not in the way you're talking about this morning. This kind of great rest thing, this knowing God, this being at peace. And well, God created you to know him. He created you to have relationship with him. And while you don't have relationship with him, there's something deep down in your life, no matter what you have, what you do, that you just know there's something in my life that's lacking. I don't know what it is, but there's something that I know I haven't found what I'm looking for. Why exactly am I here? What is this really all about? And this morning, as you've been listening and you've been here, you're like, We could put it this way, the meaning of life or whatever. But wow, okay. Created to know God. If that's you this morning, and you're like, I want to know God. Starting a relationship with God is not just a quick prayer. We say, God, I'm here. Forgive me. I want to know you. Responding to God is basically saying, God, I've been living my life this way, doing my own thing, and living in the way that I want to live. But saying I want to know God means a complete turning around. Saying, I don't want to live my life my way any longer. I want to turn around and say, God, I want to give you my life. And I want you to give me your life. And I want to walk with you. I want to know you. And I want to be in relationship with you. That's what it means to know God. And if that's where you are at this moment, you might be thinking, wow, this is interesting. I need to know a bit more. There's a reality here, but I need to, you know, fine. Great. We want to help you find out some more about God. But if you know at this point where, wow, I want to know God, I want to give my life to him, because until somebody gets to that point, it's just going to be a prayer that might be an emotional one that might not last. But if you know deep down in your heart, I don't want to live that way anymore. I actually want to know God. I want to give my life to him. Yes, I need to be forgiven. Yes, I want to get my life sorted. But more than that, I want to know God. I don't know what that means. I don't understand it, but I want to know God. If that's you this morning, just tell God that, where you're standing or sitting. God, I'm here. I don't know you, but I want to know you. I don't want to go my way. I want to go your way. And I want to turn around today and I want to start a relationship with you. If there's anybody here who's like in that place today, I want to ask you to do something really bold after the meeting. We're going to finish in about 30 seconds, a minute's time. And just, I'd love to chat with you afterwards and just talk with you. If you know that's where you're at, you might have come with a friend, a family member today, and you're like, I want to respond to God today. I'd love to chat with you. And then if you want to pray together, I'd love to pray with you. There'll be one or two other people up here as well that people can chat with and they'll pray with you if that's what you want today, to take that first step in a relationship with God. I don't want to just pray a quick prayer, because giving your life to God is more than just a quick prayer. is what's called surrender in your life, a total surrender to Him. If you're not at that point yet, then stay on that journey of looking and asking and finding out more. But if that's where you're at, today's a great day, great moment to respond. Father, I thank you for anybody that is in that place this morning. You're just working their heart and life right now. Father, I thank you for all the other things that we prayed this morning. I thank you we're going to see the evidence of those things, even today, that things are going to shift around our lives and in us as a result. Even today, right now, Father, I thank you. This week's going to be lived different because we're going to live in the great rest this week, not from it and not out of it, but live in it during this week. So, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that your grace has enabled us to live in that way. We praise your name. Amen. Let's give God a great shout of praise, shall we? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.